Good morning. I am really excited about this day. It was a rough morning, but there's something about worship on Pentecost that always enlivens my being. Pentecost and World Communion are my favorite Sundays in the Christian calendar. Yes, even more than Easter and Christmas, probably because they're less commercialized. But mostly because they name the power of the Holy Spirit to call together the church around the world, to call together the church from our very different settings. I was reminded when I went on Thursday in search of a Pentecost bulletin cover of something that I kind of had forgotten, however, about how the rest of the world sees Pentecost Sunday. So I went searching. Multiple of our big Christian stores in the area. First, I found First Communion, not Pentecost. Then MLK Junior Sunday, not Pentecost. Father's Day, Mother's Day, graduation, Pastor Appreciation Day, but not a single bulletin cover to pick up and go out the door with for Pentecost. It was, for a moment, a bit frustrating. I told Dan, I'm going to find this, right? Don't worry about printing something on the front, we thought. Kirk even went with me as we scoured row by row by row by row. But none we found. And I suspect that's a bit of a reflection on how we see or struggle to see the Holy Spirit in our lives, too. Amen? That even a store that is dedicated, multiple stores that are dedicated to Christian living, well, they, in some small way, have significantly overlooked the Holy Spirit. In some ways, I'm not surprised, because our minds, in many senses, are images. We work with images when we recall things, and sure enough, in the Trinity, we can relate and see the idea of a father, right? Whether we have them in our families that are close or just in our relationships with the world, somebody says, Father, and there's an image that comes to mind. Same thing with son. Even more than father, half of our world considers themselves sons. But Holy Spirit, typically when we talk about spirits or Holy Ghost or ghosts, we don't do so in the friendliest of terms, amen? We literally struggle to see and feel. But there are some of us who indeed see and feel and experience the Holy Spirit in lots of ways. But I know that that can be a struggle for many people. And that if you have the gift of sensing the Holy Spirit, it is only by God's grace and it is gift alone. So like on Thursday, I was surprised but yet unsurprised when the Holy Spirit does its ever creative and recreative thing and dropped the gift of a thought, a gift of a vision sprang forth. I remember that I had this friend of mine named Lyle. She actually was painting at the presbytery meeting last week. And I remember she'd sent out this email and this thing project she's working on called Sanctified Art. And there was this really beautiful coloring page. So seeing her last week, gift of the Holy Spirit, sparked this thought this week, gift of the Holy Spirit, and it is outpoured in the bulletin cover that we have this day. So that's what we have, this bulletin cover that you are indeed invited to color. If you do it while I preach, I promise not to be offended. You'll even notice that there are markers and coloring pencils in the pews, and if you need more, there's more in the hallway. You're invited to color now or color later in a time of meditation and reflection on the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and in the world. I loved that. That feeling of there was nothing and now there is something. Amen. I love when the Holy Spirit shows up in ways that are beyond what I could calculate for myself. It is usually, particularly when things are not going how I had hoped for, that the Holy Spirit shows up the most. Amen? It's when I don't know how to move forward, that it has a way of calling and putting things together. That's a huge part of why I love Luke's account in the book of Acts of the day of Pentecost. Pentecost, literally the 50th day from the start of the Passover evening. The 50th day after Jesus would have broken bread and foretold of his own saving death. We have this story. We find in the followers of Jesus, and they have been gathered into one place, according to Luke. And then what is incalculable happens. The extraordinary occurs. The promise is fulfilled. The God who created the heavens and the earth comes in the form of tongues of fire and lights above the heads of the faithful. And they are given the ability to speak in languages beyond their own ability. They had not studied for the Greek exam. They were able to communicate with others who would have and could have only been seen as strangers and foreigners. Folks from other strange lands, other foreign lands. This is an important implication for our Christian response to these days in which division and fear-mongering and prejudice, oftentimes driven by some weird nostalgia, leaves us told to only fear the strange and the foreign voices amongst us. In our national politics, as well as in this city and in this metro, we do this unconsciously and sometimes consciously when it comes to who we expect to be at certain places. Who do we expect to live on the west side? Who do we expect to live on the east side? Who do we expect to live in Barrington or Central Falls? What are the expectations of division and cultural differences? Well, what are they truly based upon? When I look at this Pentecost story, we're given vision for something different than how we are conditioned to respond in our day-to-day, amen? Pentecost and this spiritual return that we do year after year to this particular narrative, well, it requires that we see difference and we see language and we see culture not as something to divide us, but as something that God enables us to overcome in order to be and proclaim the good news of Christ. Pentecost is a direct counterbalance to what God intentionally confused in Genesis 11's passage about the Tower of Babel. God, in this prehistory account, mixes up the languages for the people's own protection, for self-differentiation from who God is. From God, who tells them, after overhearing them, say, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower to the heavens, and let us make for ourselves a name." God overheard them speaking, and God wanted them to know and wants us to know that we are not God. Amen? So easy it is to want to build for ourselves a name. To be able to say, "I did that." That is not what God is calling us to. That's not what we get in the Pentecost story. And it's not what God is saying for us in this Tower of Babel story. We learn from the scripture that the works of our hand will not bring us to a place of being God. That we can't work our way or build our way to the heavens. We need God. We need God in order to truly know our very purposes, our very callings, our very selves. Amen? Amen? We see this all around us, particularly in the forms of violence and violations that we do to each other for the sake of making a name for ourselves. Violence and violations in our homes. Violence and violations in our malls. Violence and violations in our streets. Violence and violations in our political systems around this world. We need God. We find this violence and violation in our workspaces and in our schools. This Tower of Babel thinking. It's a key part of our brokenness and our struggles to be the people of God. We continue to try and build a name for ourselves. Clearly, we need God. Amen? We need God in the crevices of our lives. We need the Prince of Peace to reign. We need hope for the sake of our hearts, for the sake of our minds, and for the sake of our spirits. And praise be to God that in the person of Jesus, we are given that kind of hope that can overcome these violences and these violations. Jesus, as he ascended into heaven, spoke to the faithful ones who were below. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when we were talking about ascension. And he promises them to send his very spirit as an advocate, as the paraclete, as the comforter, as the guide, and as the corrector. On the 50th day on that Pentecost, the Holy Spirit shows up and God outpoured God's very self on God's people. And those that were there were gathered to do exceedingly and abundantly more than they could have ever imagined. Don't ask me to speak Russian right now. You can ask Sid, though. That's more than I can imagine. They were able to then share the gospel, that great good news, to those who would have been only seen as strangers and foreigners. They were able to, as Reverend Johnson mentioned last year, be in the gap because of who God was. There was a gap in communication. There was a gap in life experiences. There was a gap in social connection. There was a gap in cultural nuances. But there was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, all of that rich diversity was not overlooked. Note that we didn't have a reversal of the Tower of Babel, that all of a sudden now again spoke one language. But God held our diversity and caused us to be able to go beyond. But deeply engaged, they were able to proclaim the great good news of Jesus Christ, even to the ends of the earth. God enables us to speak. It's only by God's grace that we are ever able to speak truth or love or hope. And sometimes these words of liberation are received with joy and sometimes with trepidation. But trusting in the one who has created us, frees us, and sustains us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can speak. God gives us unique combinations of languages in this day. Some of us, as we raised our hands earlier, mentioned that you speak other cultural spoken languages. Can you shout out a few that you speak? Russian, French, slow down, I want to catch them. Russian, French, Spanish, tree, Ghanaian, Ga, Ewe, Arabic, amen. We are a gifted community gathered together in this place. Now, aside from cultural languages, many of us speak other languages, whether it's music. Anybody here speak the language of music? I know we have musicians. Music is its own language, correct? How about the language of, say it again? The arts, the language of the arts. So maybe the visual arts. Huh? Hugs? Art? Acting. acting. Sorry. So drama, acting? Yes. So drama and acting are language. Economics is a language that most of us back away from very carefully. And we are thankful for those in our midst who find joy in those spaces. God gives us all of these languages, empowers us to use them. They're there to overcome barriers that otherwise might exist. I want to share with you an experience of this overcoming of barriers in a small time in my life. When I witnessed God gathering the faithful into one place, spoke to us, and then empowered us and sent us forth to share the great good news. This too was inspired by my conversation with Lyle last week. So, I have this experience. I have this experience while I'm in seminary. And we arrived on June 30th with the expectation and started Greek school on July 5th. And it was Kirk and a 1.5-year-old Soraya with 2 loaded down, barely driving cars, no furniture. And we arrived to the village housing, which was the family housing on our campus. And these people greeted us. Mary and Sheldon. And at the time, their 2.5-year-old daughter, Maya. Mary, well, she took care of a lot of the kids in the community, and she was our next-door neighbor. Strangely enough, we had come from the same state. Sheldon had even grown up in Tampa, which is like the next city over. But we met as strangers in this space where we had both been lifted up and taken. Mary and I would knock on each other's door with baked goods or treats that we had cooked, or just for hugs. We were both newer first-time moms. And it was amazing to have somebody walk with you when you couldn't figure out, so why is my kid crying? Has yours done this before? Because this just seems weird. Because of the Holy Spirit showing up, we were able to pray to God through the language of hospitality, the language of caring for another sister. Sheldon was quite hospitable on his own right and was the TA of the strongest Koine Greek student on campus. So it was really great having him as a neighbor. So a month into Greek school, when I thought that my head would explode with participles and declensions, he offered to tutor me for free. He gave me a hug when tears fell from a combination of fatigue, lack of confidence in what he told me and showed that I actually knew, and the start of this new life as a seminarian and as a mother and still early as a wife. Because of the Holy Spirit showing up, we were literally able to pray to God and for each other in the language of Koine Greek, but also in the language of friendship and vulnerability. Another couple of people I'd like to introduce you to is John Pike and his wife, Shanae, both immigrants from Korea, here pictured with their son, Kevin. When I was in leadership for the African Heritage Seminarians Association, I had this vision to have a meaningful relationship with the Asian Student Association on campus and the African Heritage Student Association. John was the president of ASA and a true brother in the faith. So I shared this vision, and we prayed about it. And about a week later, he and I and Shanae, along with some other leaders, had come up with this plan. We organized the very first student-organized community-wide Thanksgiving dinner called Seoul to Seoul. That's S-E-O-U-L, the city in Korea, to Seoul. A celebration of God and comfort foods. Amen. We had an amazing meal of gimbap, which is like Korean rolls similar to sushi, collard greens, macaroni cheese, brownies, all types of yummy things. It was a beautiful, bountiful feast, a glimpse of the kingdom when we looked at all of the international students who felt comfortable, professors who felt comfortable, custodial staff who felt comfortable, vice presidents and administration who felt comfortable
to dine together. Alongside John, Shinne created a legacy that continues. They continue to do soul to soul even after we've both graduated. And it seeded new relationships at the seminary. So when Shinne, while pregnant with their second child, was infected with a deadly supervirus that those seeds that had blossomed years before, where they bloomed in a community coming together across the country and across the world with prayers. Kirk and I were blessed to be in the number of believers who prayed day in to day out on a 24-hour cycle, even when things really did not look good. And although Shinne and John lost that child, as well as several of her appendages, she is alive and is a beautiful witness and testament to God's deep and abiding grace. Because of the Holy Spirit showing up, we prayed to God and for each other through the language of beautiful food and hope in the midst of tragedy. I'd like to introduce someone else. Here's my sister, Sally Ann. Mackenzie and I, doing what I love to do the most in the world, worshiping God with the whole of my being through dance. Sally Ann is an amazingly gifted artist, and together we entered seminary on the same first day and graduated on the same day together. And in the midst, struggled and wrestled with finding our pastoral voices. We shared our experiences of feeling insecure and uncertain for, does the church have a place for us? We shared and reflected on difficult theological concepts and realities. And just because the Holy Spirit showed up, we prayed to God and with each other through the language of dance and theology. Amen. I have two more people I'd like to introduce you to in this season, although there were many. Here is my sister and classmate and second mom to Kirk and I. She is the Reverend Dr. Karen Stevenson. She was a medical doctor in psychiatry, an accomplished flautist, an army officer, a Pentecostal minister before she ever stepped into the seminary class. She is an abundantly gifted woman. She came to CTS not because she had to, because in her Pentecostal tradition, an MDiv is not required. Not because it was her tradition, because she thought she was supposed to, because others did it before her, but simply because the Holy Spirit had guided her and directed her to do it. She was and continues to be a prayer warrior in the trenches of our lives and has connected me with more friendly colleagues in Rhode Island from Atlanta than any other person. She is a person who speaks life to those who feel overlooked. And while we have very different political and societal views, I had some of the most important, transformative, and theological, prayerful conversations with this woman. She grounds me in the importance of loving those who are across political lines, across value lines. Because the Holy Spirit showed up, we were able to pray to God and for each other in the language of the Holy Spirit's power to connect beyond any divisions, to be driven by love and exchanges of wisdom and hope. Lastly, I'd like to introduce a woman I've talked about a couple times. This is Lyle Gwen Garrity, and in the corner is Jenny Smanick. This is from the workshop last week at the Presbytery. She is my pastorist friend, is what she calls herself. It is a combination of a pastor and an artist. Lyle, who, like Sally Ann, is a trained visual artist, was inspirational to me understanding as a worship leader and as a Christian that all of the things within me have a space before God. We helped our professor, Kim Long, form a class just on that conversation of worship and the arts. And Lyle was super supportive and Keeley for influential in the creation of the space, which was the sanctuary and is the sanctuary of prayer, art, and creative expression, which is a physical manifestation of my honors project. She shared that gift with the presbytery this past week by the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit's power continues to show up, we too today, along with everyone who is gathered in this space,